Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I'm your host, Cynthia Williamston, and happy Wedding Wednesday. We are always happy to spend this hour with you on Wedding Wednesday. And we're going to say happy Wedding Wednesday to all of our Twitter fans, as well as our Facebook fans. We want to just thank you for all of your support and for all of your encouragement. You always have such wonderful questions and suggestions for the show. I'm so excited to be interviewing some big dynamic women this month who are talking about marriage. Last week we talked with the wonderful Myro, and remember, I said I'm not gonna say her other name because I'll mess it up. And I'm sensitive about people messing up my name, so I'm not gonna mess up her. So it was Myro Simpson, and when she listened, she was gonna crack up. We spoke with her about working on me for we. It was a wonderful conversation, and if you missed it, please go into our archives and take a listen. It was a very enlightening story about how we really need to look at our own behaviors in a situation before completely replacing all blame on our spouses. This month, we were talking to, like I said, some very dynamic women about different things in within the marriage or things to work on in the marriage. And tonight, we are talking to Pamela King, co-founder of Still Dating My Spouse, right here on Facebook. And I have to make sure that I put the link to her page in the event so that you can go and like her. For those of you who are on Facebook, please find Still Dating My Spouse, the Facebook page, and like it. She has some great tips. She talks about some wonderful topics. And, of course, you know what? I'm not even sure why I'm still talking. Yay, she's on the air with us, and I'm just going to go ahead and bring her in so we can get this conversation started. Hey, Pam, you there?
I am. Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm wonderful, wonderful.
You know I'm excited to have you on.
Yeah, I am too. My husband is sitting with me, so we're excited to be on here to share with you.
You know, you're breaking up a little bit. Is everything okay over there?
I wasn't sure. Hold on. Let me, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you right now.
I don't know what is going on. It's, you know, that's just the devil trying to keep me from getting this word out. That's all that is.
No, well, clearly that cannot be stopped. So, you know, we won't even put the blame on him. He's probably all upset now. He's like, dang, I'm going to get blamed for this.
Right. Right.
I thought I saw someone else coming in already ready to talk.
That's me. But so, get me.
You want me to switch over to the other one?
Yes, please.
All right, I believe I got you. You there? Pam? Uh-oh. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I got you.
Is that better?
That is better.
Okay. Then, you know, we got plenty of phones around here. We're going to get this message out today.
You know what? Come on now, Pam, don't get me started because we start having fun on the phone and talking, and then we're going to forget all about the message. So we're going to do our best to stay focused. I'm not going to make any promises, but we're going to do our best to stay focused because Pam is a lot of fun, y'all. So we get on the phone and start to chat. Now, you don't know what's going to come out of either one of our mouths.
It's going to be a good word. I promise you, you're going to get something from something that we talk about.
Okay. Now, you know what, speaking of which, since you and I have already chatted and we know what we got going, why don't you tell our listeners what Still Dating My Spouse is all about? Where are you from, first of all, and talk to us about Still Dating My Spouse.
Okay, so I'm sure you guys can hear that southern drawl. I am from Memphis, Tennessee. And Still Dating My Spouse is all about us trying to promote healthy marriages through implementing regular date nights. when I say date nights, it's really just implementing regular dating, because we got to thinking about when we was dating each other, how excited we was and how much we put into getting to know our spouse and talking to our spouse, making sure that they were happy, we were happy. You know, we just invested a lot in dating. But once we get married and say I do, and the real life happens, children, careers, just bills and children and careers, you know, we just going on with daily life, we forget to date each other, to keep the romance there, to continue to do what we did before we said I do, before the careers, before we got a little older, before we got settled. So the whole premise of still dating my spouse is to just help couples to stop. You know, get back to that time that we dated, talked openly, honestly, and just laughed and enjoyed each other without thinking about bills. Because think about it. When you were dating when you're dating and other couples were dating before they got married, you never talked about a bill. That was not the top of your conversation. Well, babe, you know, I got to pay this cell phone. That wasn't the full conversation. You know, you didn't talk about what you know on the job, they stressing me. That wasn't all about what you talked about. You talked about, you know, you just enjoyed each other's company. So that's what we're trying to do, is just say to my spouse.
Okay. So I just like the premise of that. And you guys actually have an event and things up there?
Yes, we love getting couples together. You know, that's the whole point of it. We recently just had a marriage conference called Love Summit, and it was phenomenal, even if I have to say so myself. We had 2 days of speakers, and it was very interactive. One of the things that we wanted to do with our conference was to make sure that it was couple-driven, meaning that those that was in attendance pretty much led the conversations. We came up with the topics, and we had the speakers. The speakers, yes, had their speech and what they wanted to say, but it all really depended on what interaction we got from the couples. And I must tell you, what, Saturday morning when we talked about forgiveness, we went over. I mean, because the couples just needed it. So
that's
it was
a good topic.
Yes, we had a great turnout, and it was really good. We're uploading some of the speakers to our YouTube channel. So you guys, you know, go out to YouTube. We're still dating my spouse, of course, on YouTube. And we're going to upload some of those, just snippets from the summit there, because it's going to help someone.
Okay. Well, I'm actually going ahead and posting the website in the event right now so that people can go ahead and take a visit. And I'm going to have to share some of the posts on the Bridal Tribe Blog Talk page on Facebook later on. 15 things to know about marriage. You know I'm going to have to post that. I didn't even read it yet, and I know I'm going to have to post it. So, yeah, we're definitely going to do that. So, yeah, I love it. You had a love summit. You have events where you get together. You got a YouTube page. And for my listeners, she also has a Twitter page that you can follow her on Twitter. And she posts a lot. I'm going to start sharing your stuff. Sometimes you get so busy you forget about your Twitter page. I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me. So now I have to really start, you know, focusing again and get back in there and start sharing some of the nuggets of wisdom that, you know, that you guys share on Twitter. Hold on. I just posted your website in there. Okay. So we've got all of that covered. I'm going to be posting all of those links too, Pamela. And her. You know, you may as well shout out your husband, because I know he's sitting there. You may as well shout him out so that we know, so he knows that we know he's there.
Well, my husband is Stephon King, and he is the number one guy in this family, in this all over. And he actually just got up and walked away, but he'll be right back. But he is a big support. He is so into what we're doing and the ministry that we're working in, and he's reaching out to the husbands. Because, you know, a lot of times we focus so on the wives, but the husbands are so important in the marriage because they are our leaders. And so mm-hmm. that is what he's taking on, is trying to help guys know it's okay. You can show a few emotions. Let your wife know you love her. You know, spoil her a little bit. And spoiling doesn't even have to be a whole lot of money. It doesn't have to be a lot of things. It's just spoil your wife the way that your wife wants to be spoiled.
Right, right. Which, of course, means that you have to get to know how your wife wants and likes to be spoiled.
Yes, you know, that's where that dating comes in at, because when you're dating, you're going to learn a little bit more about your spouse, that communication opens up, and you're free to share, and you guys grow together, and believe it or not, you never know everything about your spouse, because we change daily. You know, you
right.
evolve. You know, what you did in your 20s, you're not doing in your 30s. What you did when you were childless, you're not doing now that you have children.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, that's where that communication comes in at. And, you know, I know that's what something of what we're going to talk about tonight is how to get over certain things that happens in your marriage. And communication is number one. You got to keep that line of communication open, because as soon as that shut down, the hiccups are going to get harder. The
Absolutely.
Issues that you're going to have in your marriage is going to be harder. But as long as you guys are committed to talking and dating and spending that quality time, it's going to be easier for you to share things, the good things and the not so good things. Because
right.
we got to remember, we are human, so every day is not going to be roses. If you're
mm-hmm.
in a marriage and you think that you're supposed to be happy every day, now we want to be happy every day, but we're human. Things are going to come up. We may step on our spouse's toe. That he or she is not going to be happy about that. So we got to
mm-hmm.
deal with it. Hiccups are going to happen. When
right.
a hiccup happens, does not mean that you just need to run away. Okay, it's time. All right, I can't deal with this. He done stepped on my toe twice this week. I got to go. You know, we can't do that.
All right, well, you know what? Let me just tell this now. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Tamalina. I'm still dating myself. We are talking about working, praying, and praising through the rough spots of marriage, about really, you know, staying in when every day is not happy. Now, I do know that on your website you have an article talking about rebuilding your marriage. So I guess we can kind of start there, because we said, like, finances, you know, emotional, like losing a job, depression, extended family situations. And then, of course, we talked about mindset. Why don't we start with mindset? When we talk about the mindset of when you go into a marriage, name a few, because I think we did say that's like finance-driven.
So you was breaking up a tad bit. So you said the mindset of when you're going into a marriage?
Right, because I think we talked about the fact that when we go into a marriage, if your mindset is really all about keeping up with the Joneses and how much money you guys have together, and you know buying a house and the clothes and everything, and then when that stuff's not around, you feel like you need to leave. That, you know, your mindset wasn't right from the very beginning. You know, let's talk
Absolutely.
About what the mindset should be when you're going into your marriage.
Well, the number one mindset should be oneness, that you guys are coming together as one. You know, once you say that I do, that's the last time that you really is a, you should look at it as a I, that you are a single person that is all about you. So your mindset should change to be a we, a us, and a betterment for the marriage. And if your mindset is all about keeping up with the Joneses, as soon as you are not able to do that, you are going to go into a frenzy. You are not going to. You will not understand how to handle not being able to do everything that you used to do. So you got to get together and come up with a plan on how you're going to deal with finances, you know, live within your means, and just communication generally will help you get through that particular hiccup that you may encounter. Because think about it. you may hit a financial hiccup, and that doesn't even just have to be losing a job. It could be you trying to go out and make a major purchase. If you guys have not discussed how you're going to make major purchases, or if there's a need for a major purchase, that can send you, you know, that can cause a problem.
Unauthorized purchases.
Say that again.
I said unauthorized purchases.
Yes. Yes, and you know, us women, and some men, though, some men are big shoppers, and one of the things that, you know, you have to be aware, and this, again, goes back to you knowing your spouse. If you know your spouse is a shopper before you say, I do, that, trust me, it's not going to change unless you guys have a conversation about it. If that is a problem for you, then let's talk about it before you say, I do, because don't just assume that just because you are now her husband or his wife, that they're going to automatically stop doing what they stop the shopping, because that's their pastime. So talk about it. Talk about it before it becomes a big issue of finances for you guys.
Right. I love it. Okay, so the mindset, like we said, is like keeping up with the Joneses. And the mindset that you want to go for before going into marriage is of oneness. You want to make sure that you're beginning to, I think we use the word cleave. When you're in the process of cleaving, you have to become one and keep the lines of communication open as much as you can, as you're learning to cleave anyway. So that you can avoid at least major hiccups, because as you said, there's always going to be a hiccup. But if you want to avoid major hiccups, you want to just deal with crystal clear communications about how you'd like your marriage to be run.
Yes. And, you know, those are some of the things that we fail to really talk about before we say I do. And that's okay, because once it comes up, that's when you really need to have a conversation so that it doesn't continue to be a problem in your marriage. You know, have those conversations. You may think it's a minor thing, but it could be a major thing for your spouse. And you guys need to talk about each and everything, because, you know, we're talking about getting past the hiccups and praying and going through your marriage. The smallest thing to you can be a really major thing to your spouse. And you don't want to get into a big argument or a fight and separate over something that was so simple. All you had to do was just hold a conversation.
Right. Well, you know what? I can definitely say this. I know I know a few couples who are always having the conversation. We're always talking, but every now and again, a spouse can walk away feeling unheard because nothing is resolved. Nothing is truly resolved.
That's and one of the reasons that is happening is because they're talking at each other and not with each other. Meaning that I'm not listening. I'm not effectively listening to you, and I haven't died to myself. Meaning that I'm hearing you talk, but I'm already thinking in the back of my mind what I'm going to respond, because my way is the right way. You gonna understand what I'm saying regardless of what you're saying. So when you and your spouse have talked and you leave the conversation still unheard and feel like there's no resolve, that is because you guys have not been open, honest, and transparent. And to be open, honest, and transparent means that I need to share and I also need to be quiet. So I need to effectively listen to my spouse. And when Stefan shares back to me, what I need to do is shut my mind off of a response, because you know, we as humans, we already waiting on that trigger word, and we got a comeback for that one word, and we have shut down everything else that they have said. And you have to stop your mind from doing that, because once you have shut down and you're ready to respond off of that one little word or that one little phrase that they've said, you haven't heard anything else, and you're not really getting in tune with what your spouse is saying or their feelings. You're really still talking about yourself. So you have to truly effectively listen, effectively communicate, and hear what your spouse is saying and hear what they're feeling. Now, you may not understand it. Don't get me wrong. There'll be some times that you're like, I don't get this by no means. But if my spouse is feeling that way, let me take it to heart and try to change whatever it is that's making them feel that way. I may not understand it, but if it's hurting my spouse, then I need to honestly say, well, baby, I promise you I'm not going to watch Golden Girls again tonight at midnight. We watched it at 9 a.m. We won't do it again. You know, whatever it is, yes, I love watching Golden Girls, but he doesn't want to hear that all night over his head while he's trying to sleep. I mean, I'm being facetious, but you get my point is
you got to
put yourself in your spouse's situation, even if you don't understand where they're coming from. If you love your spouse like we said we did, like we say we do, like we talked about, and I know we're going to talk about to death do us part, then you would try your best all the time to make sure nothing that you do will hinder them and their growth.
Now, you know, I do want to take a minute and tell listeners that you actually make an appointment to talk with couples. We didn't even discuss that you actually do that.
Yes. We do a couple counselors, and I do if the husbands need, you know, need a male to talk to, my husband does that, and I do the for wives only conversations and events for the wives. And so, yes, we definitely reach out and counsel, talk to couples, because sometimes they just need a neutral person. We don't tell you you need to do this, this, or that. We never tell anyone to leave their spouse. We never say, we walk you through it. We talk you through it, because when you get, a lot of times you just want to be heard, and you just need the guidance to know, to figure out which way you need to operate in your marriage. Because, you know, I talked about the other day on my Facebook page about a full tank of gas. You know, our cars come with a manual. And we all know that we have to, you know, rotate the tires. We have to get an oil change. Our marriage comes with a manual as well, which is the Bible. But a lot of us don't read that. So we really don't have a true a manual that people pick up and read. But we have to read a manual. We have to put into our marriage. We have to, you know, put maintenance in. We have to regroup and refocus sometimes. And we may have to go to other people that are doing what we're doing to get that.
Right. Yes, I know you also, you posted something the other day about depositing into your marriage bank. That was really, really good.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Deposit it into your marriage bank. So, y'all know I go off on tangents, so make sure you pull me back in.
All right, so you know what, then stop right there for 1 second. Let me just say this. If you are listening via internet and you want to call in and join this conversation, or if you have a question or a comment that you have for either one of us, you can dial 347-996-3160 and press the number 1 to let us know that you want to join the conversation. Otherwise, of course, you could just listen in. So now that I've given out the number and that they know, to take that tangent, and you know, if I need to break in there, I will. But go ahead.
Yeah, you let me know, because I'm passionate about this marriage bank, and we, you know, because daily we are withdrawing from our marriage. You know, when we are sharing and our spouse is supporting, our spouse is doing things for us, that is withdrawal. And if you're not giving back to your spouse, to the marriage, to the household, your marriage bank will get depleted over time. And we all know what happens when we get insufficient funds. There's nothing else you can do with that account. There's nothing for you to get, because you haven't deposited into it. So if you stop depositing into your marriage bank, you're going to run up on this spouse that is angry, cold shoulder. They definitely are not going to roll over in the middle of the night and want to be lovey-dovey with you, because you haven't given them anything to do that. You haven't given them a reason to. So I always tell spouse, we have 24 hours in a day. We do get busy. I'm not blind to that fact. You know, children, careers, everything, church, community, we get busy. But in 24 hours, I know everybody got 10 minutes to give to their spouse. Mm-hmm. In that 10 minutes of you giving to your spouse, that includes communication, that just asking them how they're doing. They may be doing something around the house. They may even be putting the kids to bed, giving your spouse an opportunity to not do that night. Give something back to your spouse in your marriage. That would do a wonders for you guys, because the load is shared instead of being one-sided.
I like that. The fact that you say that in a marriage the load should be shared and not one-sided is pretty powerful. Because we don't get to hear that often enough, that, you know, because a lot of times in a marriage, people already step in thinking, you know, that they're going to separate different tasks and things that each spouse should do. But to hear that a load should be shared, you know, each spouse has to bring something in for each other about when it comes to talking, asking, like you said, asking how your day was. What can I do for you? Can I help you with something today? Can I get you dinner? Or just complimenting them on the dinner that they made.
Yes.
It makes a big difference.
It really does. You know, we have a lot of stay-at-home moms and dads. I'm having to change my terminology because we have stay-at-home parents now, mom and or dads. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to take the stay-at-home spouse for granted, because their job is just as hard as the one that is leaving outside of the home. So you make sure that regardless of your spouse's level of work that you think is outside versus inside, or part-time versus full-time, however it is, everyone has a load. And we need to share it in the marriage to make sure that we are not bearing down on just one and stressing the one spouse out, because believe it or not, that is a hiccup. That can cause so much damage in a marriage, because one spouse will feel like they are not appreciated. I am more of a slave versus a wife or a husband. They only want me for the money that I bring in. He or she only wants me for the dinner and the clean house that I provide. And you as a spouse is more to your spouse than a maid or a cook or a banker, because if that one spouse is the money maker, you're treating them as a banker, and that is not good. Your spouse is part of you now, and you guys are one. So if your spouse is, if you consider your spouse just the cook and the cleaner, guess what? You the cook and the cleaner too, because you're part of your spouse. So I need you to get in and hit a few of these dishes in here and move this vacuum cleaner. You know, I tell people all the time, my husband is the laundry person in our house, and I'm blessed to have him. He loves ironing. He loves washing clothes. But I also know that there is a time that I need to say, well, babe, I got these white clothes over here, because I know I'm not going to mess them up. So you just hold on. I'm going to wash these clothes today. But he also know, you know, we share it. That's what he loves to do it. That's what he loves to do, but I also want to appreciate him sometimes and just say, I got this. I've been watching you long enough. I know how to do it. You know, whatever. Share the load. You know, why would I allow the clothes to pile up because he's so busy doing other things, and I'm saying, well, that ain't my job. That's what he's supposed to do. That's not what spouses do. That is not what marriage is about. If we are one, we all should pitch in.
Nice. I'm going to have to, like, of course, make that a travel with him. If we are one, then we all should be, you know, pitching.
Yes. You know, because think about it. You know, we talked about the Joneses earlier and the finances. You know, if one spouse is the banker, because we're going to just go on and call him a banker, him or her, I'm sorry, we're going to go on and call the spouse a banker. If that spouse is the banker and something happens that their finances that they're bringing in is not the same, guess what? You may have to pitch in. You may have to figure out a way to compensate for what your spouse is unable to do at this moment. But if you are one of those that's saying, I married him or her. I'm sorry. I married my spouse, and they were supposed to take care of me, and I ain't supposed to work. Then that's a problem, because now you got undue stress on your spouse when you may have the opportunity to just pitch in. And when I say pitching in, you may braid some hair. You may be able to sew somebody, do some hem, you know, sew or do something. Bring in something to just say, baby, I understand and I'm trying to pitch in. Let me, my little money that I'm doing can take care of A, B, and C. That little effort that you put into it is going to do wonders for your spouse. He or she is going to appreciate you for even attempting to help them keep the family afloat.
Well, you know what, let's talk about that, because we do have some people who go into a marriage with the automatic, like these mindsets, like they say, I'm going to this marriage, he said he's going to take care of me, and that's what it has to be, and if he can't take care of me, then I'm leaving. So let's talk about the process of change when it comes to living through a marriage, you know, that you should be able to be flexible. Your mindset should be able to be flexible when you're in a marriage. You don't just expect everything to always be exact and 100%. How important is it to remain flexible throughout relationships?
It's very important, because just remember, we all are going to change. You're going to change as you grow as a person. You're going to change as you age as a person. Your marriage is going to change because the dynamics of your marriage is changing. So you got to be flexible. You know, we've been married 15 years. What we did in our first year, half of it we're not doing in this 15 years. For one, we're a tad bit older and a tad bit heavier. So all that, you know, things changes. We had children then. We don't have children now. So if you are so rigid and everything has to stay the same, you're going to miss out on the beauty of walking down a path with your spouse and building that road together, because you're stuck at point A. And you got so many points in your marriage that you are going to do and come across or be able to build together. And if you are stuck at, well, we did this, we started out doing this, and this is the way we're going to do it, you are missing the beauty of building memories together, building traditions together, just becoming one and making a path together.
I love it. That's really powerful, and you can actually hear the passion behind what you're saying, that it is what you're saying. You will miss out on the beauty by being so rigid in your thinking and thinking that things are going to stay exactly the same, because, you know, you never know what might happen. If you think that one spouse is always supposed to take care of the other spouse, what happens if they become unable to move, if they're in a car accident, if something happens to them? Are you able to navigate that kind of change? How do you really let them know from the very beginning that you can't expect things to just, like, stay exactly the same and feel like you're loving that person?
Well, that's, again, I know you guys, and I know your listeners are like it. She say communication one more time, I'm going to freeze. But it's all about communication. It's all about getting to know your spouse. Now, you know your spouse. You know their temperament. You know how tough they are. You know what they can and cannot take. And so sometimes we're not surprised. You shouldn't be surprised when your spouse come out of left field and be like, I'm not going to do that. You know who your spouse is. Mm-hmm. So communication, if you're not communicating about certain things and dreaming and fantasizing and just talking about the what if, because you got to do what if. What if is almost going to be reality sometimes, because what if I'm not able.
Pam? I don't know if you can hear, but you just got cut off, and we cannot hear you. And you were just about to say all the juice, if I can tell. Maybe you put your face on mute or something. See if you can come back in. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry about that. We are having just a small bit of technical difficulties. But we are talking with Pamela King. I'm still dating my spouse, and we're getting some excellent, excellent pieces.
Hey,
of, there you go. Where were you?
Say that again.
I said, where were you? You completely cut off. We missed the last 2 minutes of anything you said.
Oh, I was right there. Was that me? Did you mute me? Cynthia, are you muting me?
I would not do that, not on the air, maybe in person. But I would not do it on the air for the listeners. When you and I get on the phone, that's something totally different. But no, I didn't mute you. You just completely, you stopped right in the middle of something juicy. I don't know either, but the last thing I heard was when you said there are going to be what ifs. And as soon as you started talking about the what ifs, everything just mute.
Oh, so let's talk about the what ifs. I was sharing that couples need to do what ifs because it allows you to dig deeper into the surface and get you and your spouse talking and sharing about things that that you should be aware of if things should happen, because things will change. And if you haven't had a conversation, you won't be able to adapt. You won't know how your spouse is going to react. And you need to have those conversations. You know, maybe, you know, the job market is on A, B, and C, and they're talking about they may do this so that you guys come up with a plan. Don't wait until the disaster happens and try to have a conversation, because by that time all emotions are there and you will have to get past the emotions. But if you guys have built a communication foundation, you are able to talk about anything, and you can suppress, I don't want to say suppress the emotions, but you can really think logically even with the emotions there.
So every marriage should have disaster management, basically.
Yeah.
By asking the what if questions beforehand. You know, what if I'm unable to work? What will we do? What if this happens? What will we do? That's great. No, so that's like marriage disaster management training.
Yes, you know, because we never know, but you don't want to wait. You know, I know a lot of couples don't like to talk about the live and will type of thing, but you need to talk about that. We don't talk about elder care. You know, as we get older, our parents get older. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? You can't wait till his mama gets sick and he's talking about, well, you know, mama got to come in here, and you thinking in the back of your mind, that woman ain't coming in my house, but y'all ain't even discussed it. By this time, his mama's bags is already in the front door.
You blunt, and I love it. So I'm just like, you know what? She's like, mama's nice. I would not want to even be the fly on the wall for a situation like that. Can you imagine what that would look like?
Yeah, and just imagine if there's tension between the in-laws. That'll be a rough situation. But if you guys have already discussed it, baby, you know, I really wouldn't think that would be good, because that means we have to bring all the parents in. Eventually, all the parents will come through here. Let's just figure out a way, you know, or whatever the conversation is going to be, but have that conversation.
Right.
Have a conversation about in-laws.
Mm-hmm. No, that's an excellent, excellent tip. I've also known, I know, because at some point in the month of November, we're going to have the whole finance, the whole month is going to be devoted to chats about finance and marriage. And I have actually seen personally some individuals forgot to change the beneficiary on their life insurance policy. Some people forgot, you know, to do certain things. And next thing you know, if when they pass away, boom, there's a problem. And it's, you know, either whether it's their first wife or second wife are now in an altercation, or the mother and the wife who never liked each other, he forgot to take his mother off of the life insurance policy. It's really crazy. So, yeah, discussing the what ifs, discussing elder care, discussing life insurance, discussing all of those things, getting those things on the table can be nothing but helpful to having a more peaceful journey in your marriage.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about elder care, but in 2013, we got a lot of blended families. So let's talk about these children. Let's talk about kids, because, you know, you were talking about beneficiaries. Let's talk about the kids. You know, we're blending a family, so there's extra people now. So let's talk about how we're going to blend families, how we're going to raise children, how are we going to sit out this, you know, you talked about beneficiaries, how are we going to list the kids on beneficiaries, because now we're all a family. It's not just your kids and my kids, it's our kids.
Right.
So that's something else, you know, you have to think about all of those things, because you don't want to get to a point in your marriage that you haven't had true conversations. You guys have been so lovey-dovey and everything has been going well, and you never thought this would happen to you. And you get to that never thought this would happen to you stage in your marriage, because there's going to be that I never thought this happened to me stage in every marriage.
Now, Pam, you know you're going to have to
You guys have not even... you know, had a conversation about rough stuff. You know, you haven't even had true conversations, so there's no communication foundation to build off of. There's nothing for us to bounce off and still have a intact marriage. So if you don't have those type of conversations, you are going to look like a deer in the headlights, like, okay, what do we do now? So my first instinct is going to be to run. Why would you run when it's something that you guys just need to discuss, but you don't have that conversation? You don't have that foundation to even do that. You don't even know your spouse enough to even approach them and say, well, baby, I lost my job today. Because I know several husbands and wives that got up and got dressed every day and went to work just because they were too afraid to let their spouse know that they lost their job.
Oh, wow.
That's a problem.
Oh.
Problem.
That is a problem. I can't even imagine what kind of chaos that will cause later on, because doesn't that cause issues of trust, of mistrust, I should say?
It is, but what happens, what brought on the mistrust is because we don't have an open line of communication, and so we have never even discussed different things, and we have not built on our relationship that I am comfortable enough to tell you, well, baby, I ain't got this job, but we need to do A, B, and C, or we can even come together to come up with a game plan. Because we are so one-sided. Here we go again with the one-sidedness. I got to tell the Holy Spirit, thank you for that one. Because here we go again, one-sided, because we put all the pressure on that one spouse. And so that one spouse feels like they are a failure, and they're going to lose their spouse if they came to them and told them that what the spouse expectations of them, they have not met.
I can't even imagine the amount of emotional distress that the other spouse must be in at that point. I mean, when you look at the domino effect of not being able to have open communication between, you know, the lying or deception is one thing, emotional distress. I mean, there's a whole laundry list of things that could really put excess pressure on a marriage that could easily be worked out if you don't know how to communicate. If we could just learn how to communicate with each other before you get into a marriage, that would be great.
Yes. And when it all boils down to it, a lot of times if you ever go back and talk to divorcees, a lot of times you will find out that they grew apart. Guess what? Guess how they grew apart? It's because they stopped talking.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they say that it was the finances, when you dig deep, it's because they didn't know how to talk to each other about finances. Each one of them had an idea of how to deal with the money issue in the household. Mm-hmm. Everything starts and stems from or the lack of communication. If you do not open the door to have those honest and transparent conversations with your spouse, you are going to have some tough issues later on, because someone is going to hide something, because everything that we talk about is fun and we all are happy. Marriage is it. We want to be happy, and we should be happy, because that's the reason we get married. But every day we are human, and there are going to be times that it's not going to be roses, and you got to be able to know how to get those roses back. And that's all about communicating and sharing and becoming one with each other. Now, it's all easier said than done. I understand that. So y'all stop screaming and stop typing in caps on in the chat room. I just want to say
we'll have chat room open because, you know, it should be managing everything. If I could be typing, trust me, because I would be typing away and you would hear all types of ticky, 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 ticky on the air. And, you know, when I'm even just posting stuff, people can hear me, you know, this is all you hear. So I'm going to have to hold off on the chat room before, you know, I would love to, believe me, because that's where people feel very anonymous. A lot of people tell me that they don't want to call in because somebody's not going to recognize their voice. They don't want to post any event because somebody's going to know that it's them. Sometimes I get inbox messages. And if I, you know, I'm going to have to find a way or, you know, find someone to come sit with me and handle the chat room because I can only imagine some of the comments and things that people really want to say. And speaking of which, again, if you are on the air with us, it's 347-996-3160. If you have a question or a comment, press the number 1 so that I know that you would like to join in the conversation. Otherwise, of course, we are happy for you to just listen in. Now, I have a question because something that you said just earlier about when we were talking about the things that could really come and put pressure on a marriage. Let's talk about loss, whether it be loss of a job, loss of a child, loss of a loved one, to be put in that type of emotional situation where you're feeling lost and you stop communicating with your spouse. How do you, you know, how do you navigate something like that? Because I've seen many marriages literally fall apart. Not that the love wasn't there anymore, but the lack of communication and the amount of pain that the individuals are in, it's a daily fight just to get out of that pain. How do you recover from that? And then let me just say that I do see that we have a caller on the line waiting. I'm going to pull you in right after we just go over a little bit of this conversation. I'll pull you right in, so don't hang up. Let's go for this, Pamela.
Don't hang up, caller, because I want to hear you. let's talk about that, because what happens is we have to remember that when we are used to a certain thing and a certain lifestyle or a child or whatever it is, we go through a whole emotional turmoil and depression can set in. And we have to try not to pull away from our spouse, but we will because we are all into what we are hurting inside. And so what I tell spouses, and this is something that we have gone through, so this is not something that I read. This is something that Stefan and I have gone through. What we had to do is that we had to just be there. Sometimes there is no words that you can say. You got to give your spouse the leeway to grieve. You got to, and that's grieving of a job, that's grieving of a child, that's grieving of whatever it is. Give them that time. And you also need to be able to say the words that your spouse needs to hear. And only you as the spouse will know those words because before this incident, you guys was building up on learning each other, knowing each other. I'll never forget when I lost my job, my husband was there for me. I went into a really deep depression. But he gave me my time. He saw me balled up in the bed. He would come and he would caress me and ask me, is anything I need? And some days he wouldn't even say anything. He just automatically knew to put whatever, you know, water or something to eat by my bed. And he gave me that time. But when he felt like I was wallowing too much, he would say, well, baby, let's go and do this. Whatever it was that he knew was a passion of mine or something that would make me smile, I'll never forget that for a week or so, he gave me longboards. I don't know if anybody would know this. This is a coconut candy bar. That's my favorite coconut candy. And he would always just put one. When I woke up every morning, it would always be one on my nightstand. One or two. It always increases. But I think he had a bag of it. He was just stretching it out. But anyway, the whole point of me saying that is you got to be patient with your spouse. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to remove your feelings. Because right now you're saying, why don't you get up and get another job? I know he thought that. Mm-hmm. I know he did, and I would have thought the same thing. Why don't you just go get up and get another job? But if you're so used to something and that's who you attach yourself to, you know, sometimes we attach our self-worth to certain things, and once it's snatched away from us, we think that we don't want to live anymore. Let me take that back. We don't want to, you know, move forward. We think we're stagnant. But be your spouse support system. You know, don't say, get up, you should do this, you should do it. Give them the time. Now, let's just say time does not mean 10, 20 years, because if I'm still moping over a job 20 years ago, that's a whole different series, friend.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you got to give them time. You can't expect someone that has lost a child to bounce back the very next day. You can't expect someone that has been on a job for 30 years to bounce back the next day, because that's what they're used to and whatever. But be that support system. If you have built up that relationship with your spouse, you will be able to coach them out of it. And let me say this. If you know your spouse well enough and you know that they have gotten into a depression that you can't help them out of, I believe that it is your job to get them the help that they need. Don't say, okay, I'm done with this now. He done been out of job for 2 months. Enough is enough. Okay, so that's a whole other issue now. So now we need to talk about what is really keeping him or her from moving forward. Get them the help they need. Now, if you can't get yourself out of that situation that your feelings are talking about he needs to do this or she needs to do that, then there's a problem with you. You are not being a support system for your spouse that they need at that time. That's mm-hmm. how we get to a lot of these high-rise divorce rates that we are experiencing, is because we don't want to go through the trouble. We don't want to go through the jungle with our spouse.
The process sometimes, because you know what, it really is difficult for a lot of people to be able to handle another person's process.
Yes.
Because they're just not
equipped. But remember when we stood before all our family in our beautiful gown and he was looking all sexy in his tuxedo, we said to best football, to good health and all of that. And this is one of them struggles. This is something that we got to help them through, because if you love your spouse enough, you need to help them get through it. And it may be you may need to get outside help. I don't know what you may need to do, but you know your spouse. I know my spouse paying them longboards on the table and really just being there for me and telling me every day, you know, babe, I love you, you know, however, whatever he did, it helped me to get out of that. But if he had came to me and been like, look, now that job is over and done with, you need to get yourself together, we may not be here today, because that's not what I needed at that time.
Right.
Now, he may tell me that now we're going to laugh about it, because we can do that, because that's just who we are.
Right.
He may say, you laid in that bed for 2 days with that same nightgown on, and I was hoping you got up out that bed and changed that nightgown. We're going to laugh about it.
Right.
But had he said it right then, you know, you gotta know what to say and when to say it. Everything that comes to your mind don't need to be said at that moment to your spouse.
All right, you know what? Right now we're going to bring in this caller. The last 4 digits of your telephone number is 1698. You are on the air with Tribal Wisdom. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Catherine, Event Planner Brooks. How's it going?
Hi, Catherine. How you doing?
Oh, my gosh, I've been missing your show. I've been in meetings and everything, and I've been missing your show for almost a half a year. So I was like, okay, I am getting on this show tonight, and I was like, because it's been crazy. But, you know, Bridal Tribe, I love your topics, and I just, you know, try to encourage and say, okay, come on, guys, you got to listen. Yeah, and Pamela, I'm Ms. King, thank you so much. The topic is great. I just got in a new relationship after 4 years. I was married for 17 years. That's him calling now, but he's going to have to wait. So, I was married for 17 years, got a divorce, or whatever. And what I'm glad you're addressing is that the fact that when tough times come, and I, being in a relationship for 20 years, tough times did come, and when something, it was almost like a Hurricane Katrina level.
Yeah.
And that's when you really, really got to see how strong or the value or the validity of your marriage, and
yeah.
and we didn't have anything there. It was like, okay, what do we do? You know, because we know how to get along when we're happy, when the bills are paid, and everything's
mm-hmm.
beautiful. But you know, how do you get along when everything else falls apart? And
yeah.
this new, you know, my new guy, he came in and July 31st, that's the day I lost my best friend to cancer. He had been talking to me and kind of walking me through it and everything like that. But yeah, but it was definitely something that I said, okay, let me see if he's going to really be there. And when she died, he just cranked it up. So, you know, so I mean, it's still new, it's still fresh, but I'm saying he was there.
It's
so.
A blessing. No, it's a blessing because if he's already exhibiting that behavior and he can maintain that, that's a beautiful thing that he knows and understands to be there for you when you are in mourning.
Yes, I
yeah.
was just about to say that, Catherine. For him to watch you, you know, death brings about a whole different personality,
mm-hmm.
and for him to be able to sit there and be your support system. During this time, it speaks volume because a lot of people can't handle that. And, you know, they have the insensitive words and they think that you need to get over it as soon as possible. So that speaks volumes for him and for you guys' relationship.
Yeah, I mean, cancer is, I mean, he has seen, it was in the last 3 years, I've had three people just about every year to die of cancer. And this one was so close to home, and I mean, it you know, it came in, and she was just diagnosed in January, and I'm saying July, she's gone. And so for him to, you know, he saw from the sideline a little bit, and then he got closer and closer, and then right when, you know, she passed away is when he stepped in. So I'm saying that I'm glad that you're addressing this because not everybody wants to be married, but good God, I can tell you how many people want to have a wedding, you know. So, you know, everybody wants the tool and this and the blah blah blah, but that marriage is not always love is good and it's great, but it ain't the prettiest thing all dressed up in a Tiffany box, you know, and it wrapped up, you know. So
right.
It's something you got to work at. So
yeah, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because,
and I'll go ahead and let you guys talk.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put you on mute. Don't hang up, because we got someone else, it seems like, that has something that they want to say. So I'm going to bring them in, too. But let me, before I bring you in, I see you, caller. I'm going to let you know I see you. I want to let you know that we've got, like, 3 minutes left on the show. Can you believe that?
Wow.
We talk
about
it. Doesn't it go by pretty fast? And if you're listening but on the internet and you don't want to miss everything else that we say after this, because clearly we will be going over because Pam's not done, trust me. Because I know. I'm not like, I don't know Pam. But the number 347-996-3160. And if we happen to go over our time, you will not miss anything. If you're listening via internet, you're going to get cut off, but no worries. You can always listen to the archive later on. So we are discussing working, praying, and praising through the rough spots of marriage. And we're talking with the dynamic Pamela King, and we're touching on so many topics. I don't think we even talked about what we planned to talk about because we just flowed so nicely. It flows so very nice. So I'm going to bring in this caller. The last 4 digits of your number are 2994. You are on the air with Travel Wisdom. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. This is Felicia Houston. How are you?
Hi, Felicia.
Look, I just called in. I'm in the car driving home from Disney on Ice. But I was like, I got to call in and get in on this conversation. I just been listening for the last 15 minutes. And you guys, I just love when you have those real conversations because, yeah, everybody thinks that the good part of marriage is all great. But when trouble comes, yeah, that's when you realize how if your marriage, that's when you really get a chance to see how much, if your marriage rocks or not.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So I would just say that a month after my husband and I got married, my husband lost his job. And like you said, Pam, I was in my brain, I was like, look, dude, get over it. Get another job. It ain't that serious. Let's move it. Come on. We got stuff to do. But I can't let that come out of my mouth. Because, you know, especially for a man and for my husband, he had identified his whole self around that career. And, you know, he's like, I'm supposed to be the provider. I'm supposed to be the protector. You know, I'm like, you still that? And he's like, no. We need to work. We need to pray. Pray for me. I'm like, oh, okay. You want me to pray for you? So it can pull you guys further apart, or it can bring you guys closer together. Yes. And I think for us, it drew us closer to God and closer to each other. So it's just important to know that when it comes, it's going to come. So right. If you're good right now, that's great. Praise Jesus. But you know, when it comes, what will you do when it comes? So,
right.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having this relevant conversation. It's very relevant.
Oh, thank you. Now, I want to ask, because when that moment came, had you had that what-if conversation before you got married?
Excuse me?
Did you have that what-if conversation? Like, we were talking earlier about being able to have those what-if conversations so that you can kind of navigate, like, marriage disaster management. Did you have a what-if conversation before you guys got married? Like, what if I lose my job, what will we do?
Yes, we did have that conversation, but I think, like Pam said, it's one thing to talk it, because it's another thing to walk it. You're like, oh, Lord, we were just having that conversation. We weren't really thinking this was going to happen. My God, you know, he got a sense of humor. So I was like, okay. But, yeah, we did have a lot of those. We had those conversations prior, you know. And God is so awesome and so wonderful that we have been operating off of one paycheck up until that point anyway. But like the last about 6 months, we have been operating off of one paycheck. So it worked out, and it was God. So and
wonderful.
It drew us closer, and after we made it past that, we were like, okay, we made it to that. We can make it through anything. We good. We got this.
Well, let me just tell, you know, the listeners that someone that listening to Felicia Houston from Anointed Wives Ministry, who was a previous guest twice on Tribal Wisdom, and will be again. I know, I'm not even worried about it. I'm just getting out there. will be a guest again and has, again, so much of her own wisdom to share when it comes to marriage. And, you know, we were just talking about, like you said, that I never thought it would happen to me, and I'm giving that assignment to Pamela. You have to write that up real soon, Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, I never thought it would happen to me moment. You guys, I mean, I don't want you to get specific, but how many of those moments would you say you have gone through in the time that you have been married?
Are you speaking to me or Felicia?
Either one, just let me know who's talking when you start talking.
This is Pamela. We've had several.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the loss of a job. We've had the teenage years. We have four, so we've had teenage years. We've had several. We've had several, and like Felicia said, it actually has brought us a lot closer. And it also brought about things about us that we didn't even know we had. I've shared with someone before about the fact that we've even had the illness. Both of us had been sick. But one time when my husband got sick, you know, it's easier for us wives. We think that, you know, we got it, we're going to do it. But when I got sick, I was like, you know, I had rallied the troops, my mom, my sister. And he was like, no, I got it. No, Mom, my mom will be here, my sister. He was like, no. So, you know, I had the bag back, and I had to tell my mom, okay, Mom, just be there just in case. But he actually had it, you know, and the things that he did for me when I got sick, you would think that yes. So we've had several. Let me just do that because, you know, I'll talk all day. We've had several. And it either, as Felicia said, it'll either build you up or it'll tear you guys down. But it's all about the foundation that you're set before the incident even happens. So it's very important about that communication and doing the what if and just talking and being open and honest about things that could happen because, it could.
Yeah. And I would just say the same thing. It's several. And yeah, some were, you know, we had the conversation, and then some we hadn't. So
yeah.
Like, ooh, where did this come from?
Right.
So,
right.
Like Like I know last summer my husband's grandfather died, and my husband's grandfather is basically the man who raised him. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, what do I do? What, you know, I could talk to other people. I was like, ooh, what? So, and then going to the funeral and all of that and taking the kids. And so you have some different experiences. But like Pam said, you get a chance to see what your foundation is. And if your foundation is on some sand, yeah, you're going to float away. So make sure you got a solid foundation.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
The foundation is the word of God. We just go to, that's what we know. So we go back. What did God say? Mm-hmm. We need to pray. We need to fast. Mm-hmm. When you turn off the TV, what we need to do? Because we're going to get through this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm with Felicia on that one, yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to let you ladies finish your conversation because I'm going to get the babies out the car and all of that. I want to be disruptive. But I love you guys both. And I hope you enjoyed your anniversary, Pam.
I know you did, girl. I know you got in.
So good.
Mary,
do have fun.
Yay. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you so much. We love you.
Thanks, Felicia.
No problem. I love you guys, too. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, Pam.
Yes, I love that. It is, you know, and I really appreciate the ones that called in to share that even through the hardships, you're learning something about self and you're learning something about your spouse. And that's another brick on your foundation helping you for the next thing that's going to come up. It's only going to make you guys either stronger or, as Felicia said, it can destroy you if you guys have not been prepared, you know, for certain things. We can't prepare for everything, but even if you haven't talked about it or haven't gotten prepared, you know, death, you can't really prepare for death, but you got to find out how data to lean on.
And it's excellent. You know, I like this the kind of the last part of the conversation that that is so important. I'm sure that he had his support system when you were going through whatever you were going through, because when that part of your relationship, when your other half is going through something and they're not there, you know, to truly support you, you have a support system outside, whether it be your parents, whether it be, you know, your boys, your girlfriends, your best girlfriends. It's good to have that support system so you be able to continue to give back into your spouse until they, you know, while they go through the process, until they get back on their feet.
Yes, you know, good point, because you got to have an outlet, because when you guys are going through, especially if it's one spouse and you're having to be the support system, the full support system, your spouse is not able to give back to you at that time. So you're going to need someone that is going to be your support system, that is going to encourage you, to keep you uplifted so that you can be the rock for your spouse. So those people that you should be looking for is those that are going to uplift you and your spouse, not someone that is just going to tell you, girl, I wouldn't even be going through all that. He ain't even had a job in 2 months. What you stressing about? Why you still, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Get you a good support system, someone that is for you, your spouse, and your marriage, not just for you. You know, when I say that, they're needed to not only uplift. When they say a prayer for you or uplift you, they also need to say a prayer and an uplifting word for your spouse and your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do need that support system. You know, I'm all for you know, step up. You know, me and him, we ride or die around here. But I also got some married girlfriends that I can share with and pull my hair out with, because you need that. But you need to be around your gender and have the girl talk, just like he needs to be around the fellas and have the fellas talk. It's just certain things I may not even want to need to know.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know. So get you a support system. You know, don't go to your Debbie Downer friend all the time. Because that Debbie Downer friend is going to bring you down, and you're going to start downing yourself, downing your marriage. Get you someone that you wouldn't mind choose with. You know, if you would like to, change positions with them, then you may want to, you know, be in their circle. But you don't want to be in someone's circle that is worse off than you are. They're always complaining about their spouse, or they're just they're single and totally against marriage. No, girl, I would never do that. I don't even know why you put up, you know, or whatever it is. don't put them in your circle, because believe it or not, you internalize all of that.
Right.
And that's because when those hiccups come up, the first thing you're going to hear is that Debbie Downer friend in your ear talking about, I wouldn't even be putting up with that foolishness. And so you feed off of that. And then your actions is going to share exactly the negativity that you've been hearing. And that's not what you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You dropped a number of nuggets I can't wait to share on the page over the weekend. But of course, girl, we're going to talk. I can't wait to, you know, get on the phone and chat you up. We're going to have a good talk about this conversation.
Yes. I have truly enjoyed it. I know we went off on a tangent, but you know I'm all about, sometimes the Holy Spirit, y'all have to forgive me because I'm kind of, you know, but the Holy Spirit will tell us what we need, and obviously we needed to talk about
this right
the,
here.
Instances when your spouse can't.
Right. We knew what we were going to say, and we got on something totally, totally different. We were right for it.
Yes.
So I guess this is what we were really supposed to touch on. And,
yes.
It's been such a joy to have you on. It was such a joy to have you on. You're welcome.
I really appreciate you having me on. You know, it's so important. We have got to embrace those that have taken the plunge to say I do and to spend their life with one person. We have so many avenues that is pulling against marriages that
yes.
The few good avenues that we have got to pull together and encourage each other. Because as Felicia said, you know, marriage is good, and we do have good times, but it's not the if, it's the when that you need to be concerned about. You know, as I was reading Love to Stay by Adam Hamilton, I'm going to let you close out your show. He states that falling in love is easy, but staying in love takes courage, hard work, and lots of grace. And if we remember that, we will do a whole lot better, because it's not the if, it is the when that we need to be concerned about. And we are going to have a couple of wins, but if we have already put in the work and built that foundation, boy, you'll laugh at that. You'll be like, say, try again. We're still
yep,
here.
There you go. Now, before I close out, I have to put it out on the air that Pamela is going to be writing a book, because right now she's playing around. And I kept warning you that I would say you need to be playing, all right?
Cynthia, we're not supposed to talk about this over the air, because if you put it out on the air, I got too many people that's going to hold me accountable, so don't do that.
Well, tell all the many people that they got me to join in with them, please. So they got one more to add to the too many, okay?
Oh, that's funny.
So you need to get on that. I'm not going to give you a deadline. I'm just going to say you need to just get working on it, that I can have you back on. We can talk about your book.
You're okay? Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You're right.
I'm going to leave it right there so that, you know, I don't want you throwing nothing at my head when we actually do meet. So I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay. And I appreciate that.
And just say that, you know, one of the top things that Pamela said tonight was the number one mindset should be oneness. And I think that it's a very powerful statement. I would like for you guys to take that away from tonight's show. Now, as you know, we are Bridal Tribe. We are a company about love, beauty, weddings, and marriage fun. And we are devoted to love. We hope to hear you and see you and to talk with you again next week. As always, we love you and good night.